Today's shir is Masechta Beya Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, the fifth wide line. In our previous shir, the Gemara had asked the question. Our Mishnah taught us that if somebody designated three birds before Yontif, and then he discovers that there are only two birds there, the Mishnah said, we assume that the two birds are left from the original group that we designated, and we could use them on Yontif. The Mishnah, the Gemara, had then quoted a Machlokes Rebbe in the Chachamim regarding if somebody left wallets, stacks of money, where some of the money was Maisa money, and some money was Chula money. And the Braisa discussed the case where you left $200 and you found $100. So Rebbe said, the 100 that you found is, we assume, is the same 100 is the original 100. 100 that you had is missing, but the other 100 is still the same 100. That's the way Rebbe had explained. Chum said, no, we assume that the 100 that's here, that's left, is not from that original 200 that you had here. So the Gemara had said, based on a simple evaluation of what was being discussed, that it seems that our Mishnah is consistent with the opinion of Rebbe and not with the opinion of the Rabbanon. So the Gemara said, it's not necessarily true, because our Mishnah is speaking about birds, and birds, ledados, birds are meant to walk away, and since birds have this to walk away, we can't compare the case of birds to the case of money. Ask the Gemara, V'lamali l'shnui n'lay, why did we have to give such a teretz that shani gzoilos, however soon l'dadois, that we can't compare birds to what we're discussing, because birds move, v'amit l'adahi, we have, when we learned the braisa that we just discussed, that speaks about the money, that teaches us the machloikis of Rebbe and the Chachamim, we learned in that braisa, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozer, charam b'shneim b'kisim machloikus. The machloikus between Rebbe and the Chachamim is when you started off with $200 bills and you found one. That's only when they were in one box, so one box in two containers. That's where Rebbe says that if one container is missing, that doesn't indicate anything regarding the other container. Aval, in a case where they were put in one wallet, for example, b'kisechot, if they're all in one wallet, d'v'hakol chulin, everybody will agree that since these two $100 bills, $100 coins, were together, and now there's only one, we have to assume that since they were together, clearly there was something removed here, because we started with two and now we're down to one. So clearly we have to say that even Rebbe would have to agree that this $100 that we have now is not the one that we started with. And once at Kis Achad Machlaikis, when they were in one wallet, that's what a Chacham say that I assume that what was here is gone, and Rebbe doesn't agree to that. He says, just because something is gone doesn't mean that what's left isn't what was there from the beginning. Avol, b'shnei kisim, if they were in two separate wallets, divrei hakol, even the Rabbanon would agree, mana munach and mana matal, that what was there was there all along. And now the Gemara, after having taught us what Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozer said in regards to that machlokes, now connects it to our sugya. Bishlama lamanda amar, according to the manda amar, who holds that the b'shnei kisim machloikus, that the machloikus is strictly when they were in two wallets. Haina ditzruch l'shnui hachi, that's why we had to give a teretz, that why is our Mishnah with the birds different than the case of the wallets? Shani gzolz hava sun l'dadus, birds move away, and therefore there's no reason to say that if one bird moved away, the other bird moved away. And by two birds, even though by two wallets, Rabbanan say that If one wallet is missing, it's an indication that the other wallet should also be missing. And the money I found now is not Maisa money. Still, says the Gemara, that birds and money are different. Because birds move, and therefore one moved and didn't move. But by wallets, they don't move on their own. And if one mallet was obviously moved, it's an indication that the other mallet must have been moved as well. According to Mandom, the Machloikus is only in a case where they were both in one wallet. If the money was in two wallets, even the Rabbanan will agree that the money that's gone is gone, but the money that's left is the money that was there from originally. Hashta, so why did the Gemara have to say, according to this interpretation of the Machloikis over there, by the money, why do we have to try to figure out why our Mishnah is or isn't like the Chachamim? Of course it could be consistent with the Chachamim. Because our Amrit, the way this opinion holds, they all b'shnei kisim loy pligi. When they're separate, there's no machloikis, and even the Rabbanan will agree that what's gone is gone, and what's left is what was there originally. And certainly two birds are no different than two wallets. So why do we have to explain Shani Gazolis? Why did the Gemara have to say that birds cannot be compared to wallets because the suin ledadis, birds have the tendency of moving? Om Rav Ashi, to which Rav Ashi responds, the Braises, both our Mishnah, which speaks about birds, and the Brais that speaks about the money with the Maisa Sheni money, is talking about the Gazolos Mekusharim, where the birds are tied to each other, the Kisa Mekusharim, Askinen, and the two wallets are tied to each other. In other words, the Mandom that says the Machloikis is when they're in one wallet doesn't mean that they're actually in one wallet. They're in two wallets that look like one. Why are there two wallets that look like one? Because the two wallets are tied to each other. And therefore, the Rabbanan hold that if one is missing, then the other one is missing because they're tied to each other. And when they said, Ava v'shnei kisim, according to this opinion, that when they're in two wallets, what was there was there, what's gone is gone, is talking about a case where the wallets are not tied to each other. And there the Chacham agree that since the wallets were not tied to each other, just because one is gone, there's no reason to say that the one that's left over is not the one that was there all along. Now let's take it to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah speaks about three birds that you designated before Yontif, three birds. And in Yontif, you found two birds. And our Mishnah says that we could assume that those two birds that you find are the birds that you originally designated. That means, even in a case where those three birds were tied to each other, still, if I come and I find two birds, I say that those were the two birds that were there all along. And we do not say that the bird that was there is gone. Now, we assumed that our Mishnah shouldn't be like the Chachamim, because the Chachamim said that when the wallets are attached, we assume that they're both gone, and this is something else. So shouldn't we say the same by birds? And therefore, we would have to say that our Mishnah is not consistent with the Chachamim, to which the Gemara said, you can't compare birds to wallets, because guys lois menatria dodi. Birds naturally separate themselves from each other. And therefore, just because we have one less bird than we started with doesn't mean that we should assume that these birds are different birds. Kisim, however, loy menatchi adadi, don't separate from each other. And since they don't naturally separate from each other, there's no reason to say that if one bird, that's why we have to be concerned that if one wallet is missing, the other one also went away, and these two, this wallet is in a totally new wallet. Continues Rebbe. So how do we understand the opinion of Rebbe that even when we had two wallets that were tied to each other, we say, and now we only find one wallet, we say that this is one of the wallets that was there all along. Amalach, So Rebbe is going to explain his opinion. Kisamnami, even by wallets, zimnan the misakal katrayu. Sometimes they're tied together, but even though they're tied together, what ties them together, the string, whatever ties them together, opens up and by itself. And many times a bow or knot opens up by itself. And therefore, even though we don't easily understand how it happened, it can happen, and that's why we assume that the wallet that's left is the wallet that's there from all along. And as I saw, the Pnei Yeshua explains. Because we need to understand what, says Rebbe, what happened to the first wallet. It must be that somebody came that and took the money. But if somebody came and took the money, why wouldn't he take all the money? The answer is, he might have noticed one wallet and not the other wallet, or he was under pressure. That's why Rebbe says that if all the money is in one wallet, so how could they be separated? But if there are two wallets that are tied together, they're easily separated, and that's why we say that if one wallet is there, even if one wallet is missing, the wallet that's still there must be the money that was there all along. We learned further in our Mishnah, if we designated birds before Yontif, b'toicha kan, in the nest, and on Yontif we find them lifnei kan, in front of the nest, it's asurim. Says the Gemara, lema lemasayle, this goes back to a discussion that we had in our previous year, that we know that the Torah HaKadosh gives us different methods how to react and how to deal with a suffix. One is roiv, we know achirabim lahatis, that we follow the majority. And the other thing is kariv, we follow what is closer. So the question is, where these two methods give us conflicting results, what do we follow? So over here, when we have birds that we find in front of the nest, so we could assume that those are the birds from inside the nest. We go with kariv. Then we would say, well, those are the birds that we designated from before Yontif. On the other hand, we could look at roiv, and most birds are not from the nest. And the Mishnah says that we say that we assume that these are not the birds from the nest. Isn't this clearly indication that when we have a conflict between roiv and kariv, we go with roiv? To which Abaye responds that our Mishnah is talking about bedaf. Our Mishnah is speaking about a case where there's a piece of wood extending from the nest and where many birds rest on. And since there are birds coming from all over resting on that nest, so it's not just roiv that pushes us in the direction of saying that this must be, that we can't say that these are the birds that we designated, because there are always birds resting on this board extending from the nest that will tell us that this bird must probably, that this bird might be from those. Rav Amar, b'shnei kanalim zulim alam zuaskinan. Rav says that the way we have to understand our Mishnah is that there are two nests, one nest on top of another nest. And this person designated birds from one nest and not from the other nest. Now, on Yontif, he found birds in front of the nest where he did the designation. But he didn't find any birds in the other nest. That's where our Mishnah says we have to be machmer. Because we're not looking about the birds from all over the world. Rava agrees that we don't have to look at the birds from all over the world. But we have birds that are muksa here, which is right next to the birds that we designated. And moreover, the birds that we designated in the nest that we designated, in the nest where they would, in the nest where they were designated, weren't found there. So therefore, since we have those other birds in such close proximity, we have to be machmer. And says Rava, in a case, that if you've designated birds in the lower nest and not in the upper nest, and you found birds in front of the bottom nest, and you didn't find any birds inside the nest, and you didn't find any birds in the upper nest, that we have to be machmer. We have to say that those that we designated in the lower nest flew away the hanach, and the birds from the upper nest, ishtarve v'nachas, lower themselves down into the lower nest, and those are birds that weren't designated. Elo, says Rava, afilo zimim b'alyonav lo zimim b'tachtoni, even if you designated birds in the upper nest, and you did not designate any birds in the bottom nest, ubo umatz b'alyonav, now you found birds in the upper nest, v'lo umatz b'tachtoni, you don't find any birds in the bottom nest, hachanam yisir, we're also going to have to be machmer. Daminan, we have to assume, hanach azal alma, those that we designated in the upper bird, in the upper nest, flew away. And even though it's not typical for young, small birds to be able to go upwards, it's easier to go downwards, we still have to be concerned. Hanach seruchi solit, these birds that were in the bottom nest grabbed onto the walls of the tree or wherever the nests are and got themselves asleep to the upper nest. We learned in the Mishnah, v'im ein sham elahein, if when we designated birds, erev yontif, there were no other birds, there were no other nests around where this designation took place. Harei l'matarim. So we find birds in front of the nest on Yontif. There we can assume that the birds that are in front of the nest are the birds that were inside, because there are no other birds in the vicinity. Ask the Gemara, hey Chidami, let's try to understand what is the case of our Mishnah. Ilei b'mefrachim, if we're going to say that our Mishnah is talking about birds that could fly, why need we not be concerned that the birds that we designated flew away? And the birds that we have here are not those birds. We're talking about birds that are too young to fly and they only could slowly move on the floor. So ask the Gemara, if there are other birds within 50 amas of this nest, so why should we not be concerned that adudia dadu, that the birds that we designated also moved away? And if there are no other birds within 50 amas, pshita, the matarim, then certainly the birds that we find in front of the nest must be those birds that we designated. Any bird that only can move itself on its feet, that it can't fly, can't travel more than 50 amma. Answers the Gemara, there is another nest within 50 amma. However, according to Kaima Bekeren Zavis, this other nest is standing Bekeren Zavis, as we see in the Gemara. You have to turn a corner to get it. Matatema, that since these other birds are so close to these birds, so we say that when they're less than 50 amas away, they're going to be able to get to the other nest. Here, Kamash Malan, that our Mishnah teaches us, here we need not be concerned about that. Because when is there a concern for Medada, says the Gemara? When it could still see its original nest, that's when it's going to move to another nest, but still, because it could still see its original nest. However, viloy, but if it's in a case that even though the distance is not that far, but the first nest is no longer visible to it, such small birds, loimedada, will not travel away because they will always want to remain connected to the original nest. Says the Mishnah Beisham Aymerim, Einoit L'Masali, they used to have a mortar that they used to use to crush grain. So Beshamarim Ainot Masali Lakatsif Olabasu. You can't use it to cut meat on Yontif, Besil Matirim. Besil says it's mutter. So Rashi says that the issue with Dali is that it's a kli shemlach del iser. And since it's a kli shemlach del iser, it's also to be moved. And why the Beshamai hold the kli shemlach del iser may not be moved is because Rashi is going to have to hold that even though we've learned and we paskin that a kli shemalach del iser may be moved l'tzorach gufay mekaymai, however, Beshamai does not hold that a kli shemalach del iser may be moved l'tzorach mekaymai, and not only may kli shemalach del iser not be moved l'tzorach mekaymai, gufay mekaymai, here I want to use this equipment to cut the meat, but Beshamai says that Tzarech Gufa is not normally permissible. But moreover, Beis Shammai is going to hold that even though here it's for Tzorich Yontif, Beis Shammai is going to hold that Tzorich Yontif is not a good enough reason as well. So that means, according to this interpretation of Rashi, Beis Shammai is being very machmer. And Beis Shammai is teaching us two chumras. One is that Beis Shammai is teaching us that a kli shemlacht al iser may not be moved to tzarech gufoy. And not only may it not be moved to tzarech gufoy, it may not be even moved to tzarech gufoy when it's for simchas yontif. Beis Hillel, the way to learn Beis Hillel is that Beis Hillel is going to hold either, again, with Rashi's interpretation, that it's L'tzarech Gufoy, so I can move it, or certainly because it's Tzarech Yontif. Furthermore, but however, Tosfos has a different interpretation of the Mishnah. And Tosfos says that here we're talking about a Muktzeh Machmas Chasaron Kis. And as we've discussed from the beginning of our Masechta, even though there is a Machloikis in the application of Muktzeh, according to Tosfos, Muktzeh Machmas Chasaron Kis is a very serious Muktzeh, to which everybody agrees is Muktzeh. And the Machloikis B'Sham Beis Hillel is, may we move Muktzeh Machmas Chasaron Kis, where I want to use the Muktzeh Machmas Chasaron Kis because of Simchas Yontif. Beis Shammai holds no, and Beis Hillel holds yes. Beis Shammai, another din. Ein Noisnes Or, a skin that was taken off an animal may not be put lefnei adarsim. The way they used to process it, they would step on the skin, and that's a melacha of melachas ibud, and melachas ibud may not be done on yontif. Furthermore, v'lo yeg bi'ena, a skin that was just taken off the animal is muktzeh machmas gufoy, and therefore Beis Shammai says it may not be moved. Elm kein yeshim b'kazayis basar, unless there's some meat on that skin. Beis Hillel, Matirim, and Beis Hillel are lenient in both of these halachas. And Beis Hillel hold that you may put it in front of people who are going to walk on it. And Beis Hillel hold that you're allowed to pick it up. And both of them, the reason why Beis Hillel is lenient is, as we've been learning, because of Simchas Yontif. Tana, says the Gemara, Vishavin, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, Shem Kitzel Abasar, that if you use this Ali to chop meat on Yontif, Shasla Tatloy, then now you may not move it anymore. Because the entire reason we allowed it to be moved was because of Simchas Yontif. But now you already used it for your Simchas Yontif, and therefore you may not move it. And the Chiddush here is that the only reason even Beis Hillel allows us to move Dali is because L'tzarech Gufoy. And once it's not being used for that purpose, then I can't move it anymore. I'm a Baya. Furthermore, says a Baya, Machlokes Bali. The Machlokes B'Sham Beis Hillel is by Dali. Ava V'Tarva Gamri, if they had such a board that was used to break the bones of animals and cut meat on it, L'divrei Hakol, everybody will agree, Mutter, it may be moved on Yontif. And as the Or Zeruah says, not only is Abaye saying that you're allowed to move it, but you're allowed to move it even when you're not using it. In other words, what Abaye is coming to teach us, says the Or Zeruah, is that it's not muksa at all. Something which is not muksa, of course, may be moved. Says the Gemara, Pshita, of course that's the halacha, because let's learn our Mishnah, Ali Tanan. Our Mishnah specifically speaks about Ali, answers the Gemara. That our Mishnah is speaking about the Tavra Garmi as well. So why did we choose to speak about Dali? To teach us how lenient Beis Hillel is. Dali, which is primarily used to crush grain, which of course may not be done on Yontif. So therefore, maybe Beis Hillel will be machmer. Kamash Malon, the Beis Hillel is makel on Dali as well. Ikadamri, but there's a different version. Amra Baya, loy nitzcha el afil tavri gamri chadati. Even a new tavri gamri that may be moved. Marateima, because maybe we should be concerned that according to Beis Shammai, mimloch v'loy tavala, you're not going to use it, and you're not going to use it for that purpose. Maybe it's going to be considered, and therefore it should be considered muksa kamash malon. And the Shita Mekubetzis points out that this is a different type of Ikkud Amri than normally. Normally, the Ikkud Amri is a different version of the same Shaila. But here, the Ikkud Amri is saying we're talking about a different Shaila altogether, and that if do we have a concern by a new Taver Gamri? Ask the Gemara. According to Beis Shammai, we're not concerned that he's going to change his mind. In both applications, we're not concerned that he's going to change his mind. But ask the Gemara, Beis Shammai, we're not allowed to bring a shoycher or animal to Behema. If they're far away from each other. So the way Rashi explains, the concern is that they're far away, and we're worried about moving, carrying something yontif shaloi l'tzorich. But the Rashba has a different way of explaining this machlokes. Here we're talking about that we're involves carrying something from shesayachid to shesarabim, from shesarabim to shesayachid, which, as we're going to be learning in our coming shiurim, that is a malacha. And the question is, if you're allowed to carry, where I need to be concerned that I'm going to end up carrying and then not use it for the purpose that I not using it. The Beis Yosef says that even though the Gemara speaks about the shoychet and the knife, we're primarily concerned about the knife. The shoychet, a person can walk on yontif wherever he wants. Of course, it has to be within the tchum. So when we speak about what our Gemara's primary focus is about the shoychet, but the knife is carried by the shoychet, so that's why the Gemara spoke about the shoychet. But our focus here is on the knife. Furthermore, a type of a mortar where they used to crush spices, ate some meducha. They had the pot that you crush the spice, and then you had the bowl where you pour it, where you crush it in. So the two parts of this machine were separated, of this can't be carried one to each other. They can. And again, the reason Beis Shammai is machmer, because Beis Shammai is concerned that we're going to change our mind and we will have carried for no reason. And Beis Hillel is not concerned. But one thing we seem to see from here, the only concern that Beis Shammai has is that you're going to change your mind and you will have carried for no reason. But it seems that if we knew for sure that you were going to crush these spices, Beis Shammai would agree that you're allowed to crush spices on Shabbos. Even though, as we've been learning in our shiur, everybody agrees that you may not crush wheat. The reason is, for two reasons. The Tzlach gives two explanations. One is that spices are the kind of food that lose their taste if you don't crush them right away. So since they lose their taste, if you don't crush them that away, that's why you're allowed to crush them on yontif. Wheat, it doesn't make a difference. So since by wheat it doesn't make a difference, you should do it before yontif. Furthermore, says the Tzlach, crushing spices is not that much of a tircha. And that's why it may be done on yontif. Whereas crushing wheat involves a lot of tircha, and since crushing wheat involves a lot of tircha, it may not be done on yontif. Says the Gemara, Hachi Hashta, how can we compare the two cases? Bishlama, Beim Osilim Luchi. By an animal, we could understand why somebody may change his mind. Doma, because somebody may say, Nishber Kai Behema Kachusha, this animal is too lean, or Maisina Behema Achrita Deshmenimina, I want to use a different animal which is fatter, better. Mikteira Nami, same thing by spices. Osilim Luchi, a person could change his mind and say, I'm not going to make this dish that needs this type of spice. I'm going to be preparing a different dish on Yontif that doesn't need spice or needs a different spice. But a Taver Gamri, why would somebody change his mind? Why would we think that somebody's going to change their mind? Here we have an animal that's kivin the shachta. We have an animal that's been slaughtered. Once we have an animal that's been slaughtered, Latfir Kaimer, we have to break it up. And therefore, Beis Shammai would be more lenient by Taver Gamrei, even though he's not so lenient by these two other types of situations. We furthermore learned in our Mishnah, Beis Shammai Ma'ein Noisn Sa'or, we can't put skin of an animal in front of people who are going to stamp on it, because that's considered Ibud, and Beis Hillel are lenient. Tana, but says the Gemara of Shavin, the Braisa teaches us, Shemolchan La'Basel Atzli, that we know that when we need to kasher meat. So there's two ways of kosherizing meat from its blood. One is by, if I'm going to cook that meat, I have to properly salt it with a lot of salt to extract the blood. But if I'm going to roast the meat, then it's enough just to put on a little salt. So here says the Gemara that the amount of salt that's used for roasting, which is not that significant, Beis Shammai says that I could do one yontif. To which Abaye comments, Lois Shana El Tzli, only the amount of salt that you need for roasting. Avlik Deiro, the amount of salt that you need for cooking, which is a significantly more, Loi. That's not permissible. Says the Gemara, Pshita, of course that's what the Braisa said. The Braisa Litzli Tanan. The Braisa was very explicit that it's talking Litzli. Answers the Gemara, so why would I think differently? Answers the Gemara, Hakamashmalan, the filo tzli ke'en kadeira. Sometimes somebody is going to roast the meat, but pat roast. And since they're going to pat roast it, they're going to salt it significantly. And therefore, I would think that that type of salting is usur. Teaches us the Gemara that as long as it's not tzli lekadeira, as long as it's not tzli lekadeira, it's mutter. And the reason is because since we're talking about meat, the Rashba says, we're talking about a meat that was shechted on Yontif. And since it was meat that was shechted on Yontif, if we're not going to salt it in the world that they lived in, it's going to spoil. And therefore, Chazal were more lenient, and even though they were being machmer with salting, but we tried to find as much leniency as we can. That means, according to the Rashba, this heter that we're learning in this braisa would only be for meat slaughtered on Yontif, but not for meat slaughtered from before Yontif. Tanarab, emolchim as chalovim, the fats of an animal, again, were salted in order they shouldn't get spoiled. It says the braisa, emolchim as chalovim, we may not salt those fats in Yontif. Ve'emahapach behem, we want to get some ear. Again, the ear prevents their spoilage. We may not do that on Yontif. And the reason why we may not do so, because these are things that are not eaten. And since they're not eaten, so they're muksa, and therefore it's doing this is considered full-fledged ibud, which is asur. Amr Masna Lach Rabbi Shua. The Lach is like, they can be put out in the ear. Amr Masna. Halach Rabbi Shua, Halach Rabbi Shua, Ikad Amri, Amr Masna, and Halach Rabbi Shua. Bishlo Lamandam Halach Rabbi Shua, the Mandam that tells us that Halach Rabbi Shua Itzrich. We had to learn that Halach Rabbi Shua. Sakadat Chamina, because we would think that we know throughout Shas that Halach is Yachav Rabbim, Halach Rabbim. And since the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shua, we should assume that Halach is like the Chachamim. Kamash Malan, that's why the Chiddush here is that Halach is Kiyachad, that Halach is like Rabbi Shua. Elamandam ain't alocha that the loch is not Rabbi Shua, not like Rabbi Shua. Of course, it's not like Rabbi Shua. Pshita, don't we have a rule all over Yachav Rabbim haloch Rabbim? Answers the Gemara. The reason we had to explicitly say that naloch is not like Rabbi Shua is madatema. We would consider mistabatam Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua's reasoning makes a lot of sense. Di loy sharuslei memen of loy shachet. We're concerned about Simchas Yontif, and we're concerned that we won't let the person, after he shechts the animal, put out the fat in the ear so it shouldn't get spoiled, he's going to not shecht, and we won't have Simchas Yontif, Kamash Malan. But ask the Gemara, if that's indeed the case, Maishna, why we learned in our Mishnah, the Beis Hillel allows us to put the oil of Nei Adarsim, to put the skin out in front of people who will walk on it. And we learned because of Simchas Yontif. So why over here are we being machmer? Answers the Gemara. Hossam, by the skin that's being put out, it's not obvious that you're doing it for Ibud. You could sit on that or, And therefore, people are going to assume that I'm doing it not for the purpose of Or. They used to put out Or on the floor as a carpet. Hacha, Aslam Maimer, but if I'm going to allow you to move the fat, people are going to say, my tama sharle rabbanon, why would a rabbanon lenient? Because Chazal were concerned that the fat shouldn't spoil. And therefore they're going to assume, mali l'mishtchenu or mali l'machenu. They're going to say that if I'm allowed to put it out in the air, I'm also allowed to put salt on it. Now putting salt on it is certainly usur for various reasons. Number one, moving it is moving something which is muksa. And number two, it involves ibud. And therefore we would maybe that's what the Chum say, we should be machmer. Amar Yudam Shmuel, Meleich Adam Kam Chetichas Basu Basachas, a person could salt many pieces of meat at one time, Afa Bishen Etzarach L'Chetichas Achas, even though I only need one meat. But since there was all one piece of meat, since they were all done in one act of salting, so even though I'm not using, I don't need all the meat, and it turns out that I'm doing melacha, I'm doing something on Yontif for after Yontif, the halacha is that since it only involves one act of meat, that's one act of salting, that's why it's mutter. There's an interesting machloikas rishonim, how far to take this heter. The Miri is machmer, and the Miri says I could only salt once, even the piece that I want to eat on Yontif. Other rishonim say that as long as I'm salting a piece of meat that I want to eat on Yontif, the fact that I'm also salting other meat doesn't concern us, says the Gemara. Rav Adabar, have a maram malach garma garma. He would not take all the pieces of meat at one time. He took one piece at a time. And the reason he was allowed to do that was because he picked up a piece of meat and say, well, this is the piece of meat I want to eat. And that's why I'm allowed to salt it. And therefore, and then he said, well, I don't want to eat this piece of meat, and I want to eat the other piece of meat. So even though at the end it was a harama, still the halacha is that it's mutter. But says Taisvis, that even though the Gemara is, even though Rav Adbar Hav is teaching us that he was allowed to do this harama, it was only before he ate. Once he ate, Rav Adbar would not have allowed the harama. And there's a very important Rajba. And because here we're learning that you could do a harama. And now the question is, where is harama mutter and where is harama not mutter? And the Rajba says, we can't make that decision ourselves. Where we see that Chazal said that harama is mutter, that's where harama is mutter. And where Chazal, when the Chazal did not say it, we can't say, well, we're going to do a harama. Because there are many considerations that go into the decision of a harama is permissible or not, and we don't have the ability to make those decisions ourselves. Continues the Mishnah. As we discussed earlier in our Masechta, they used to have these shutters that became the boards on which they sold their wares in the market. So we're not allowed to do that, we're not allowed to put them up and put them down on Yontif. Beisil says, we are allowed to. Ask the Gemara, my treason. What is the definition of the treason? Amula treason chanuyus. That we have these boards that we use to put the wares on them. And the halacha is that according to Beisil, they could be taken up and down on Yontif. Ve'amula. There are three places in Chazal that said that even though what we're doing now doesn't have any tzarech yontif component to it, we're allowed to do it, because if we won't do it, then people will not do it, then there's going to be no simchas yontif. Ve'elehin, all of Nei Adarson, the halacha that we discussed about putting the skin in front of the people who walk on it, again, the concern is that we won't allow that. People won't shecht on yontif. And if people won't shecht on yontif, that's going to take away from a simchas yontif. Trace Chanuyas, the halacha that we just spoke about, now that we're allowing, Beisil allows you to put them back, because if you're not going to be allowed to put them back, people are not going to open them up, and if they're not going to open up, the different things that are in that market that people need and want on Yontif won't be available. The Chazar Sotiris B'Migdash. The halacha is that one is not allowed to put a bandage, a medicated bandage, on a wound on Shabbos because we're concerned Shema Yimarech, and you may smear it. That's the issa of a macha. And somebody who does the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash has to remove that band-aid because otherwise it's a chetzitza. And the halacha is that we allow him to put it back on after the avoida, because if we won't allow him to do so, then he won't want to do that. We won't want to do the avoida. And again, it's very important to point out that even though we're learning that tetiras soif mishum tchilasoi, it doesn't mean that we could apply this rule all over. The Ravya explains, number one, we only say tetiras soif mishum tchilasoi when it's an iser derabbanan. The Shal Tshuvas Chavis Yor says we only apply it when it's a Tzorech HaRabim. But when it's not a Tzorech HaRabim, all the cases that we just identified, there's a level of Tzorech HaRabim. But if there is no Tzorech HaRabim, then we can't just apply this heter. Rechava Amar Rav Yehuda, he gives another case. Af Paisei Chavisoi, a person could open up his barrel and start a dough on Yontif, and according to Yehuda, the Amayigma. The halacha is that all year round, Amaoritz is considered Tameh. And therefore, the Chaveirim, who throughout Shas are the individuals who are careful not to come, who are careful with Tumah Tahara, were very careful to stay away from the Amaratzim. However, on Yontif, they consider the Amaratzim Tahirim. And therefore, a person on Yontif could touch food. Yeah, I have a store. I could have Amaratzim come to my store, touch the food, and I'm not concerned that the Amaratz are making the food Tameh by touching it. So now, if on Yontif, somebody opened up a barrel of wine to sell it to the Oyler Regalim, or prepared a dough to sell it to the Oyler Regalim, and now it's left over, now it's after Yontif. So the Mishnah Masechta Chagiga, Daf Chav Vav Amar Aleph, brings a Machlokes Tanoim. The Chum say, now it's after Yontif. And after Yontif, we have to be concerned that the Amaratzim touched it, and then Tameh. Because only on Yontif were we lenient, because we didn't want to embarrass the Amaratzim. We want the Amaratzim also to come, be Oyler Regal. But now it's after Yontif, so whatever they touch, we have to consider Tameh. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Anything that we opened up and allowed the Amaratz to touch on Yontif, which as we're learning now, was perfectly fine, after Yontif, we have to continue in that situation. Because otherwise, if after Yontif we're going to say that everything becomes now Tameh, people are going to be reluctant to sell wine and dough to the Amaratzim with the concern, well, if I have leftover after Yontif, I won't be able to sell it. Ask the Gemara. Arlof Nei Darsin, Tanina, what is the Chiddush that our Gemara is teaching us that Ula said, Hetira Seifim Hashem Tchilason, and you're allowed to put the skin in front of the Darsin? That's an explicit Mishnah that we learned on Amar Aleph. Answer the Gemara. The reason Beis Hillel is lenient is, as we explained, because the Or is really not Muktzah, it can be used for a carpet. And therefore, even if the animal was slaughtered in Erev Yontif, we should be allowed to put that skin down in front of people. Kamashmalan, that the only heter is because of Simchas Yontif. The heter is Soifim Shem Tchilason. And therefore, where is Beis Hillel lenient? The Yontif in. Only if it was slaughtered in Yontif. But it was slaughtered Erev Yontif, even Beis Hillel would not be lenient. Tres Chanias, asked the Gemara also, Namitanina, it's the Mishnah that's on our Amid. What's he telling us that we didn't learn? Beis Hillel Matirim Avlachzit, it says explicitly in our Mishnah that you'll not even put them back because of Tiris Soifim Shem Tchilason. Answers the Gemara. The reason Beis Hillel is lenient is Mishum the Ain Binyan Bekel and Steer Bekel, because Beis Hillel hold that this is nothing, there's nothing wrong with taking down or putting back these shutters. And that's why they're lenient. And therefore, if that's Beis Hillel's reasoning, the halacha ought to be afilu d'batam nami. Even not just by these stalls in the market will he be lenient, but even the shutters of a home, he should be lenient. Kamash malan. That's why the Gemara had to teach us that the only reason Beis Hillel is meikel is the kriteria sifra mishpim t'chiloson, and that's why chanuyus in, by the chanuyus that where there's a tzair charabim, that's why he's lenient. The batim, where there is no where there is no tzair charabim, Beis Hillel will not be meikel loy. And of course, the Rishonim point out that there is no binyan mistir b'kelim midaraisa, but the way Rashi explains, Beis Hillel holds there's binyan mistir midrabaron. So b'tzairich yontif chazaw are lenient, but only where there's a tzairich harabin. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that Beis Hillel holds ein binyan mistir b'kelim even midrabaron. But the reason Beis Hillel would be machmer is because there's a new concern, and that's concern of Shema Yitoka, that when you put the thing back, it may put it very tight. And if you put it very tight, that's the Malach of Makba Patish. So by Batim, there's a Gzeirat Rabbanon of Shema Yitoka. But by the of the market, because of Tzarcha Yontif, the Chazal were Machmer and said, says Toysus, that we shouldn't be allowed to do so. Chazar's Tevz and Migdash, ask the Gemara Namitanin, it's a Mishnah Masechta Erevin, Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis. It says the Machzir and Tiv and Migdash, Avaloi be Medina, strictly in the Beis of Migdash, not anywhere else. Answers the Gemara, Maratay Matamamai, Mishum Dein Shvus for Migdash. Why were we lenient? Because the halacha is that Ein Shvus for Migdash. In the Beis of Migdash, we're not Machmor under Rabbonins. And if that would be the case, Afilo de Lab, a Koyin de Lab Bar Avoida, who even if you have a Koyin that's not doing the Avoida, we should also be lenient in him putting on and taking off his band-aid on Shabbos Yontif, Kamash Malon. We only want that people should do the Avoida. And therefore, only the Koyin who's doing the Avoida has this leniency. Labar Avoida loy. Paiseches Chavita, the case that we spoke about on Yontif with the Amaratzim, Namitanina, the Mishnah says in Sechta Chagiga, HaPaiseches Chavita Yomaschel Bisos Agav Ragel, Rav Yehuda Amar Yigmar, even after Yontif, I could continue selling it, I don't have to, it doesn't become Tamei, because the Amaratz touched it on Yontif, and Rechamayim Lo Yigmar, so we learned that Mishnah explicitly. Answers the Gemara, Maratayim, Tumas Amaratz Beragel, Ketahara Shavi Rabbanon. And we would think, therefore, that since on Yontif, the pasuk says in Shoiftim, "V'yosef kol ish Yisrael le'ir k'ish echad chaverim," that when all of Klal Yisrael gathered together, which is a Yontif, when we're all together for Lila Regal, we're all considered chaverim, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda should say that it's never tamei, and therefore maybe he'll say, "Afgav d'loy hischol nami," even if it wasn't begun to be sold, if the Amoritz touched it, it's not going to be a problem. Kamash malon, that's not Rabbi Yehuda's leniency. And Rabbi Yehuda's leniency is only because of a tirus sofer mishpim t'chiloson. And because that's his basis for his leniency, he's only going to be lenient where it started hischel in, where it started to be used before Yontif. Lo yischel, but it wasn't used before Yontif, lo, he wouldn't be lenient. Says the Gemara of Ula. So why didn't Ula bring this example as this as also as an example for tirus sofer mishpim t'chiloson? My tamaloy amaha. Since this is the subject of a machlokes of Yehuda and the Chachamim, he didn't want to speak about anything which involves a machlokes. But ask the Gemara, but all these other cases are also plucked in the new. The machlokes be shaman be silo. And it says the Gemara, Meshamim Makim Beisilo in the Mishnah. Beisilo's opinion is discounted in the place of Beisilo, and therefore it's not even considered a machlokes. Says the Gemara, Masnisin. The like Haitana, our Mishnah doesn't follow the following opinion. The Tanya Amr of Shimon Elazar, Ma'ida Meshan Beis Hillel, Shema Salkin as a trace in Yontif, that you may remove the shutters on Yontif. Le'nechu Ella Hachser, the only Machlokes is may they be put back. Beisham Amr E Machsirim, Beis Hillel Amr Ach Machsirim. So we see that Beisham, according to this Brisa, is lenient because of Simchas Yontif and opening up the shutters. However, continues the Braisa, b'medvar amurim k'sheyesh lem tzir, where there's a hinge. Aval ein la tzir, if there's no hinge, mutter. Says the Gemara of Atanya, but isn't there a Braisa that says, b'medvar amurim k'sheyesh lem tzir, the machlex is when they don't have a hinge. Avyesh lem tzir, if they have a hinge, divrei akol asur. Says the Gemara Amar Abaya, b'sheyesh lem tzir menat sad, when it has regular hinges, le divrei akol asur. Everybody's going to agree that it's also B'shamay, because he holds Yesh Binyan V'Stir B'Kalim. According to Beis Hillel, as we mentioned before, it's also M'Drabbanan, either because of Shema Yitka, or because they hold this Binyan V'Stir B'Kalim M'Drabbanan. Elam Tzir Kol Eker, if it has no hinge, L'Divrei HaKol Mutar. Ki Pligi, the Machlokes says V'Yesh Lam Tzir B'Emtzu, when they have a hinge, but only on the side, which is not the normal type of hinge. Mar Sovar, B'shamay's opinion is Gazrinin, even if it doesn't have the regular hinges, we make such a gzeira. We don't make such a gzeira.